The sermon this morning is one of those times where we know the right answer. We know that the answer to the question asked in the title of the sermon this morning, "Whom do you serve?" is, or ought to be, Jesus. We, as the people of God, serve Jesus, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity, and true man, born of the Virgin Mary. We worship and serve Jesus, the one sent from God, full of grace and truth, to be our Savior from sin. Yes, we do know the right answer. And yet we are not immune to the struggle that Jesus addresses in our gospel lesson this morning. Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jesus' day, are described as being lovers of money. Jesus tells a story about a manager who was manipulative and scheming. Most, if not all of us, have struggled or are struggling with serving God or serving money, possessions, stuff, of loving God or loving money. My use of the conjunction "or" in my last statements is quite intentional, because addressing that question, "Whom do you serve?" Jesus makes it very clear in our gospel lesson that you and I cannot do both. He said, "No servant can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money." The Pharisees tried, and they failed. The people of God at the time of the prophet Amos, they tried, and they failed. And sometimes you and I try to serve both, and we fail too. This is an example where attitude is everything. Jesus is not condemning having money or possessions or wealth. That's not the point of what he's talking about. Nowhere in the Bible are rich people such as Abraham or Joseph of Arimathea condemned for simply being of means. The problem comes from allegiance, from priority, from focus. Jesus condemns those, including us at times, who are focused on and preoccupied with the acquisition of money and possessions and stuff. Focused on that with a laser-like focus, often to the extent that we pay no attention to those around us in need. Instead, driven by a love and a lust for more and more and ever more. And it never ends. So focus on the love of things that we forget about the love of God and the love of others. The Bible consistently warns of the dangers of such an approach. Paul, for example, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 writes these words, "Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierce themselves with many pangs." The love of money is the problem. Pursuing it and loving it and being devoted to it instead of loving and being devoted to God. What a contrast to the way of Jesus. Following Jesus means using money for godly and eternal purposes. It means seeing money and possessions first as a gift from God, and then to see that gift as an opportunity to make Jesus known by sharing the love of Jesus through the resources God has provided to us. Think of what we together can do as we recognize the gifts that God has given us and then use those gifts to be a blessing to others, to share the love of Jesus with others. Think of Trinity's ongoing commitment to the poor and marginalized through ministries such as Metro Lutheran Ministry or LUMA, or for many of you, your individual ministries of care and concern for those in need in the greater Kansas City area. Think of how God blesses those efforts in Jesus' name. But that only happens when we worship God, the giver, and avoid worshiping the gift that he gives. Indeed, you cannot serve both God and money. Psalm 24, verse 1 reminds us that creation belongs to God. There the psalmist writes, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." Everything, air, plants, animals, you and me, money and possessions, everything belongs to God. He owns it. It is his. And he gives it to us and entrusts it to us to use for his glory, to use to live a life of worshipful response for what he has done for us, to use to serve others in love, to use to make Jesus known so that others would know his grace and mercy as well, to manage it wisely in his name, to use it for godly and eternal purposes. So back to that opening question, whom do you serve? Yes, we do know the right answer. Whom we serve is easy when we understand whose we are. That we are the blood-bought children of God, that we are those who have been baptized into Christ, and now Christ lives in us. And so we love God with all our heart, and we love our neighbors as ourselves because we have been bought by Christ and live for Christ, even as Christ lives in us. We dedicate our lives, including our money and possessions, to making Jesus known, to being God's instruments of service and care to those around us. May God bless us as we use all that we are and all that we have in making Jesus known. Amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever.